God has always called God's people to remember. You were strangers in a land that you did not know. Sometimes we feel like we know exactly where we are, and other times we find ourselves saying, I don't know what's going on around me. When the people of God were enslaved in Egypt, God reminded them again, do not mistreat those who would be in similar circumstance. When the people of God found themselves with power, when the tables were turned, and they no longer struggled in quite the same way, God reminded them again and again and again and again, as God reminds us, do not mistreat those in similar circumstance. It was the rabbi, Jonathan Sacks, the former chief rabbi of Great Britain, who says it this way. Why should you not hate the stranger? Asked the Torah. Because you once stood where he now stands. You know the heart of the stranger because you yourself were once a stranger in the land of Egypt. If you are human, then so are they. You have to fight the hatred in your own heart, as I once fought the greatest ruler and the strongest empire on your behalf. This is the rabbi speaking. I made you in the world's archetypal stranger so that you would now fight for the rights of strangers. Whatever the color of their skin, whatever the nature of their culture, because though they are not in your image, they are in the image of God. There is only one reply strong enough to answer, why should I not hate the stranger? Because the stranger is me. In the Sundays after Easter, we are continuing a series of sermons on the strength of Karl Barth, the German theologian. We've been taking this newspaper in one hand and Bible in the other, and we've talked about bullying and mental health and environmental responsibility last week with the Reverend Bron Yoakum, and this week, immigration. We've been asking ourselves, what does the Bible say about these important issues, and how should our faith be formed around them? So this week's news story comes from the Supreme Court case, Trump versus Hawaii, if you had a chance to notice that it's been in the news just a little bit. This case seeks to answer the question of, should presidential authority restrict the entry of individuals by country? Y'all caught a little bit of that thing. And as a country, our history has fluctuated between intervening and isolating and imperialism and open doors by specific countries and presidential powers and establishment clause. But more important than any of that, people of faith have something to ponder. How are we being called to understand people we haven't yet met as brothers and sisters in Christ, when we hold one another at distance as others? Do you and I demonize and develop policy that harm others? Do we begin to imagine that we hold more in common that separates us instead of welcome and embrace our brothers and our sisters. Our gospel lesson from Mark invites us into an open understanding, I imagine. Jesus greets a wider collection of those who've followed him. You see, Jesus' life, death, and resurrection all took place within the wider Roman Empire. If you were a Roman citizen, you could travel freely within the Roman Empire. You had great privilege and great status. Without citizenship, you lacked access. So Jesus' words of welcome and inclusion to the family of God were a little provocative, if you will. They were to the family of God intentionally more welcoming in the face of a hierarchical society. He was demolishing limits. In the early church, the Benedictine practice was as such. Saint Benedict took up special care that the poor would be noticed as guests. Listen to these words. As soon as someone knocks, the practice was, the porter would call out, "Thanks be to God. Would you come in?" Each guest to be greeted with kindness and with love. A room to anyone who answered. Can you imagine if somebody knocked on your door and said, "Just come on in, mess and all, just step right over top the Legos and the Play-Doh that's been crushed into our foyer just this afternoon, freshly crushed in for you by my kids." Maybe that's just my house. In this age of increased security, we've become a little hesitant, a little weary of how to welcome strangers or those we've yet to meet. We wonder, are we making the right decisions in our policy and procedure? On an individual level, we struggle with, are we making the appropriate decisions for ourselves and for our family? On the church level, we think through our biblical mandate to be the church. Let us not forget, just a few years ago, we received a phone call from two young adults, Caesar and Michael, who were hiking from New York City down through Austin, Texas, to remove stigma around mental illness. It would have been easy here at the church to say, these are folks we've never met. Please find somewhere else to stay for the night. We chose instead to have an opportunity to meet incredible human beings trekking to shed light on an important issue. We were hosting Wednesday Night Fun here at the church, and the church acted like the church. And we found out how others were inviting the church to step out into that. We were a witness to their stories, and they were a witness to radical hospitality. 67 times in the New Revised Standard translations does the Bible include the word welcome? Who, you might ask, is being welcomed? It's mothers and brothers. It's kings and royalty. It's God. And you guessed it, it's strangers. Right along with those you know and respect, it's those you've never met, and the ones you can't describe. Our God intentionally and on purpose calls us to to act with compassion and with passion for those we've not yet met. God calls us beyond our comfort zones. It was earlier this winter that I sat with my brothers and sisters at the ministerium, and we held one another's grief. It was earlier that week that a middle school student from our community here, one who'd been active in our ministries, attended an immigration hearing with his father. You see, he and his father had been requested for a follow-up hearing. They complied completely. Imagine their devastation when the protocol ended in not returning to their mother and their sister and the aunts and the uncles who live here in this community, but instead with the enforcement agents who put them on a plane and took them to a village that was not their own. It was decided this eighth grade son needed to no longer live here, but in a different village, in his home country. The grief of that family and the whole eighth grade class here at Avengrove. The folks over at the garage, my ministerium colleagues, and our community is real. As we live out a biblical call to welcome our neighbors, we notice that often when we read about biblical hospitality, God needs to remind us again, do not be afraid. Sometimes fear rises up within us. Even when we want to be most brave, it raises from our toes into our throats. When we meet people we've not met before, our minds become overactive and the scenarios develop. Even before we've gotten the second sentence of introduction out, the world is doomed in our own minds. Healthy doubt and appropriate boundaries are always advised, hear me to say. I think this is the reason the Supreme Court is having an extended debate even as we have this conversation right now. But let me say this, friends. Your faith and your reason coexist in conversation together. God made us just like this. Jesus invites us in our daily lives to have our newspaper or iPhone in one hand and our Bibles in the other, to welcome those we do not yet know. And you and I, we get the chance to do so every single day. A chance to greet someone at the grocery store. A chance to let someone go ahead of us at the four-way stop down here at Guernsey and Avondale. A chance to offer kindness to a new employee. A chance to bring water to a hardworking road worker. A chance to bring banana bread to a neighbor. A chance to introduce yourself to someone you've been wanting to meet. A chance to pray for someone that others might say is less than desirable. When I was a stranger, you welcomed me. Whoever does the will of God, those are my brothers and my sisters. This, my friends, is the gospel, the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.